We were at the very top of Samachet. Amar Aleph, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lama Nikru Shema Nimushot. Right. So we said that you can start getting the, you can start coming and taking the Matan Aniyim, or maybe just like it. We talked about that machloket yesterday. From when the Nimushot come through. Now, what are the Nimushot? So we'd said they're the old people. Good. So why are they called Nimushot? So Shehein Baot Basof. They come at the end. How do we get there? So again, here there's different linguistic possibilities. One is that Nimushot comes from the word Yamish. Ramish means to remove, right? So it's the one who only come when everyone else has left. That's the Marafolda. Alternatively, by time they leave, everything is removed from the field, right? They're the final people who clean out the field. Abashal Ayakariotan Mashoshot. Abashal will call them Mashoshot. Now, what where does that come from? The Gemara says, Itanaitani Namushot. Vitanai Mashoshot. Some say Nashoshot, some say Mashoshot. What's the difference? Madamar Namoshot Chain Bain Basof. If you think it's Namoshot because they come at the end, as we already talked about, it's the top of what? Umandyamar Mashoshot Shehein Mimashmashin Uvain. Because it's from Limash, right? It's from the word to touch, right? Lamashash. To feel. They feel their way along the field with their like canes. Like, oh, where's that last thing? Now, according to both of these, the standard view is that we're dealing with is specifically the old people who come at the end, the old poor people who come at the end. Mm. Now, in the Bavli, however, Rabbi Yochanan holds it's the old, but Rish Lakish says it's Lav Dafka the old. It could just be the second wave of people who come, right? So even if the old people never make it, it's simply right the second wave of people. And if you look at the Pnei Moshe, the Pnei Moshe reads that Bavli into the Yerushalmi. If you look, he says, "Shehein Mesher Shorubayin Haimanem Refarish Lukute Bater Lukute." Right? He thinks that's actually the machloket here. That Nimushot is old people, right? And Mashoshot, right, are just the people who come in the second round. In which case, the machloket in the Bavli is also the machloket in the Yerushalmi. And the Reish Terilio makes it very explicit that that's what he's doing, that he's plugging in the Bavli. And he says, nearly the Hainu Perusha, the Reish Lakish, right? Shein Bavli of that's Reish Lakish, Amar Hatam Lukute Bat Lukute, though he switches it, right? He says that the one who come at the end, that's the second gleaner, right? So they both do it, except they switch which one is which. Right? So according to Pnei Moshe, the first day is the old people, the second one are the people who come at the end. And according to Rosh Terilio, the first day is the one, is the people who come at the end. And the second one is the old people. But the common denominator between the Rosh Terilio and the Pnei Moshe is that they think that the 2 day in the Bavli are the 2 day in the Yerushalmi. Whereas the Marafolda says, no, the Yerushalmi just doesn't quote the second sheet on the Bavli. It only holds old people and just has different linguistic ways of getting to the exact same point. And the idea that this is just the second gleaning didn't come up. Yeah.
They're taking
Leket? Yeah. They're all taking Leket. The question is, whoever these people have taken, whoever these people are, have taken Leket, so then the Balabayit now has rights to take it, meaning the poor have taken what they have rights to, and that's it. Now, the other possibility, of course, is that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish themselves never had a Machloket. Right, that they also weren't arguing halachically, they were arguing, no, they were just like, yeah, they were arguing terminologically, right, that everyone agrees it's the second round, and like Rabbi Yochanan just saying, yeah, that second round is usually the older people, right, and that seems to be, and the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot, right, and the Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot, the Rambam seems to go in that direction, right, so, again, right, you could always, so, okay, fine. So the Gemara then continues. Rav Chuna b'shem Rabbi Nachem, Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Ayotze min ha-Nimushot. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri would go out amongst the Nimushot, umevi parnasato kol hashana. And he would bring back enough food for the entire year. Now good. Why is he going out with the Nimushot?
Because he holds that.
So, yeah, because what? So
that's the standard of when the
right. So the question is very good. So the question is he old? Is he poor? Right? What does it mean he's going to Mushot? Meaning, is he whole and he wasn't a Mushot, saying how much is still left then? Is he not poor at all, and he's showing up afterwards, is proving that Nimbusha doesn't mean he went with them. It's as soon as they would finish, he's like, I'll take whatever's left over after the leftovers, and even that, so...
Not only that, is it telling you that is this even a good standard at all? Because he was still able to get an entire year's sustenance after...
Well, so it's saying, so it doesn't seem to be rejecting the standard, right? But... But yeah, right. It's showing just how much is left in the field, even after people give up on everything. Now, there is two girsot here of whether it's mina nimushot or ima nimushot. Right, ima nimushot would imply that he is if he's mina nimushot, he's among the poor. Right, he's among the elderly who would go out. Ima nimushot is he just went with them. It could be that he himself was not old and he's not. Poor. Possibly, right? Now, there is a third gear, so that it's achar ha-nimushot, which makes it very clear that he's not even poor, or doesn't need to be poor, right? The whole point is that God made it that even though he went at the end, after, there was, right, he would just make a tremendous amount of money, and God would make it that, okay, you come for a few minutes, and geschmack, right? You can support yourself for the whole year. Right, Tani, Manuraniim Shabbasadeh. So the gifts for the poor that are in the field, Shainanim Makfina land, the poor don't care about. Arehain Shalbal Habayit. The Baal Habayit can take it, right? And this means even if he himself is wealthy. And that's the whole point here, is that they don't want it, so he can take it. And what's the source? Remember, we saw this already yesterday, the question of whether this source is a stand-in for Yeyush, or this is an independent source. Is the next line, is Tani Rishon Ben Yochai, La'ani Ve'la'ger Ta'azov Otam. The pasuk says, leave it to the poor and to the convert. Ve'lo la'arvin ve'la'ata le'fim. But you don't have to leave it for the ravens and the bats. Right, so again, is that a stand-in for Yeush, which is what the Bavli seems to hold in Chulin Kuf Lamed Daled? Or as we saw in the Rambam, right, it's, and as the Kovet Shurim points out, is no, that may be that he understands this, as a, now, there is an interesting further machloket, Rishonim, which is, what does it pater you from? Does it pater you from leaving, from separating the Matan Aniyim, or from allowing other people to take it? Most Rishonim assume that at this point, you are completely exempt, right? You don't even have to leave it for the poor. The Rambam, just like by Truma and Meiser, think there's two stages. There's Hafrasha, and then after Hafrasha, there is the giving to the poor, thinks that you have a similar parallel, you have a parallel halacha here, right? Which is you still have to separate it. Like you have to say, okay, that's Peya. And even if the poor say, well, we don't want it, you have to separate it. Okay, they won't take it. You can take it back. Right? No, you're allowed to take it. Everyone is allowed to take it. The question is, you have to, right? So, like by truma, right? You have to be mafreshit, and there's no kohen, so you just let it rot, right? There's two halachot. One is to be mafreshit, and the second is to give it. Now, you would think here that's not the same because there's no tevel by leket or shechan peah, right? And yet, the Rambam still holds that you have to be mafreshit, and this is developed, right? Another nafkamina would be, right? Is what if there are no poor people around at all? One possibility, or no poor people come, which is the reality b'zman hazeh. Right, so this, I'll read you, this is very important, the halacha, so let me read you the Derech Emuna summary. He says, so if there's no poor, so again, the Rambam says you still have to be mafreshit. This is a halacha aleph yud. So the Ruchaim Kanievsky says like this, there's no poor people, you're in the mountains of Beharim, in the desert, in the mountains, you don't have to leave. The Rambam still holds there's the mitzvah to call it peah, because in addition to the chiyuv of ta'azov, right, the way Rambam Kanievsky comes to it, is there's two chiyuvim, lo tichle, right, don't cut everything in the field, and the second is leave it for the poor. But there's no poor people, you leave it, call it pay, and then you take it. Because the giving doesn't exist, or the leaving doesn't exist. Aval dat rov rishonim, but the rov rishonim hold is not true. The b'chiyai gavna she'ein aniyim o she'aniyim ein makvidin aleihem. If there's no poor, they don't care. Ein zarech klal lekrot shem bei. You don't have to call it as payah. And even if they end up showing up afterwards, it doesn't matter. Then he says, "V'tzarch iyanu mayim makim shib." Safeg, what exactly we do in the case of safeg? Now, what do you do lahalacha? So it happens to be in this case, the Ramah actually weighs in. So he's v'chatzav Ramah that inna inoagim matnaniim. The Ramah follows Rov Rishonim, and he says, "Well, poor people don't bother coming, and therefore you don't even have to separate it." Levisha Rov Goyim, he says, because at least when he was there, most people living in Eretz Yisrael were non-Jews, and therefore even if people would come, you're not chayv to give it to them, and therefore the minhag was v'michom yavo goyim itlim v'mikom oshem neichel orvim. It's like leaving it for the birds. Right, because they're not the people you're chayev to. And the chazanish says the same thing is true. So if that's the case, he said, look, he said nowadays the fact that poor people don't bother coming at all, they don't want it, right? They'd rather go and get whatever it's stuck up. So according to Rov Rishonim, do you have to leave them at all? No, but what about according to the Rambam?
Well, kind of.
According to the Rambam, you would have to at least separate it, then you can keep it, but you still have to go through the act of separating it.
Well, you're not really, like, what do you do to separate it?
You're separating
it. You leave the corner and say, this is Peya, and then you can take it. According to most people, you don't even have to do that.
It doesn't really make a difference to be harsh to the Rambam that much.
No, and it isn't, but the Rambam would say you're Chayev, but halachically, it'd be Chayev too, right? So this is the,
Like, it doesn't really interrupt that much when, like, you're cutting the field.
Say it again?
Like, there doesn't seem to be a reason not to be focused on
that. No, but that's what the Rav Chaim Ganevsky is pointing out, is that this is the nafkamina. Right, that nowadays there is this this nafkamina. And again, I think the majority view is not to. I don't think most people... I think most people follow the Ramah, right? And they just don't bother. Right. Okay. But I think, in general, the minhag is like Rov Rishonim against the Rambam, like the Ramah. Right. But just to know, this is the background to that very important.
Because we still actually might have people who would want to collect.
Yes, I think if the reality changed, it would change. I think right now the truth is, look, the farms are far away, right? You have these bigger industrial farms. Who's coming? Right? Maybe, but if they were, then you'd give them. I think that's the minhag. I don't know.
Live in
tents near farms. Anyways. Okay. Beferet uva olod. So by peret and olod, it's when the poor people go through. Why doesn't it say nemushot? So he says, he said, because when it comes to grapes, and grapes are so expensive that even the old people show up early, right? There is no second round. They push themselves. Okay. Uvizetim jerevishniya, by olives when the second rain falls. Lotanim nemushot, you also don't say that. So he says, mimneshein sina, meaning Yotzin Ella Bachurim. He said olives are the opposite problem. That olive harvest is later in the season, so it's cold. So the old people don't even bother showing up at all. Right? So therefore it only has to do with the second rain, right? You just need a different standard because there is no poor people coming. Final comment in the Mishnah was Amar Rabbi Yehuda. So that was the four Isar worth, remember? So V'kodem Lachain Eino Asur Mishum Gezel. So he said, why isn't it usher because of theft? Right? Right? Meaning, even if you take less than four Isar, you're still stealing from the poor. Like, why is this the magic amount? Like, oh, if they can't come for four Isar, then, right, I can take it. So what? I'm allowed to steal three Isar now from the poor? And he says, no, b'shitata neshivan. Rabbi Yehuda is saying them according to you. Lo atem sha'atam or m'nei shu'tzina enan yotzin el bachorin and mevio parnasato afu eno yotze. He says, according to you, that people don't show up if it's cold, if they whatever. So here they're not showing up either for less than that amount. Right, that's his point. He says, according to you, that you figure out what are people willing to show up for. So don't you agree that people are just not going to show up? They're just not going to show up for this.
That's very much pointed.
Yeah, that's what they're going to be able to, yeah, exactly.
So then does that mean that once, like, it has been collected up to the point where you start, you can take it?
Yeah, up to but not including, correct. So then people aren't going to show up for the rest.
Like, okay, so,
that's what he's saying, according to you, that you make these psychological assumptions, so people just won't show up for that to that much, and therefore...
Like, let's say, like, people started collecting, right?
Yeah.
Like, they're in the middle of collecting?
No. Presumably, while they're still in the process, no, right? Oh, like, because then they clearly still are coming. It's when there isn't enough for them to get it. Okay. So, possibly. Right, Bob, you might have to judge the psychological assumptions based on... You know, the reality in your time, possibly.
This reason seems to be
contingent. Yeah. Okay, fine. So that took a little bit longer. So we have to do Amud Bet already. So next Mishnah on the top of Amud Bet. So in general, we know that Amei Haaretz are not believed about Truma, about Meiser, right? They're believed about Truma because people were scared of Truma, but they're not of Meiser, and that's why we have the Halach of Dumai, right? That most people still are Mafresh, but not everyone, and they're not Neman if they tell us that they were Mafresh. So, Neman and Aleket Val Shechav Alpeya, but here's an interesting question, right? So here's what the Mishnah is dealing with, which is a Am Aretz is not directly believed to say that I was Mafresh, Truma, and Meiser on this. But what if they come and say, not that I was Mafresh, Truma, and Meiser, but that this is Leket Shechav and Peya? And therefore, it has the halachic status that it's exempt from Truma and Meiser. Are they believed to say that? It has implications for Truma and Meiser, but that's not actually what they're claiming. Right? They're telling you, I was given this as leket. Are they believed, like meaning a poor Am Aretz? So the Gemara says, Mishnah says, Neman and Aleket Val Shechav Al Peah Bisha'atan. During the normal season, they are believed. Right? If it's normal leket season, so then, and they say this is leket, they're believed. The Rosh Tzurliya just adds that this is only someone who's neutral. If someone we know is a pathological liar, Truman Meiser, then you don't even believe him about that. Fine. Well, Meiser Ani Bechol Shnato, and Meiser Ani all year, because why? Because Meiser Ani is given out the whole year. Meiser Ani isn't like Lekin Shechan Peah that you only give it at a specific time of year. The Orach HaShulchan had, and the Tosfot Anshei Shem have slightly different distinctions here. I'll read it for you quickly. The Tosfot Anshei Shem says, Nira atam she'ane'amonut b'masar v'chon Hashem she'yesh zman kavo la'afrisham gam yishem she'im harbei v'yachol liyot lani v'la'ivi mehem l'kol ha'shana. Amashe'ing v'lekir shechol she'im me'at. Right, he says it's more about quantity. That there's so much Meiser Ani being given that it's not implausible that at any point in the year he still has Meiser Ani. Right? It's not that it's given out all year, it's that there's a lot of it. As opposed to the Matan Aniyim, as we see, are very specific times. So he comes at you 3 months after the Matan Aniyim were given out, and he says, this is Leket. It's like, that doesn't seem logical.
You could be giving more of like Meiser Ani.
Correct, that's his point.
You could also be giving
more. You can't give more of the other ones, because remember, it's about Ta'azov. You leave them, you don't give them.
If I own a field, right, and that's like my how I make my money.
Yeah.
And I have a huge field.
Correct.
So if I don't make a lot of money, then you're going to give to my Meiser Ani. But a lot of like pay.
But there won't be a lot. Remember, there's a very set amount. It's ta'azov. It's a standard. You're right. You could in theory, but it's unlikely. But we're talking about not possible. We're talking about likely. This is someone who doesn't have ne'amanut. We're trying to figure out, is he likely telling the truth? Right? So again, you could come up with a situation. The Aruch HaShulchan, Aruch HaShulchan Atid, really, same author, but his Perush on Zerayim Kachem Tarot is called Aruch HaShulchan Atid.
Because they'll be followed in the future.
Yes, that's right. And he says it's a... Right, so he says again, it's first he notes that you don't have amigo, right? Which is just important, right? To say that you might have thought he has amigo. You know what amigo is? I could make a better argument, so believe me for my worst argument. He says, don't let him say, well, I could have told you it was Meiser Ani, so believe me that it's like it. He's like, no, because that's like amigo b'makom edim. So he says, the other thing is also a geographic point, right? Is that Meiser Ani is given out at home. right? It can be given out anywhere, as opposed to the modern anim, they're given out in the field, right? It's a geographic point. And therefore, if he says it's Leket and he's like 17 miles from the nearest, not nowadays where that's a 15-minute drive, right? But then he's 17 miles from the nearest farm and he's like, look at my Leket. I went and I walked 17 miles to get a grapefruit. And you're like, you did? Okay. Whereas Matan Ananiim, the farmer can divides it, right? So therefore it is believable. It's like the farmer went to his farm, brought everything back to his house and divided it up. And therefore there's more believability that he actually, he was given it. Okay. But the point is that it is more plausible that what he has is like a Shechon Peah. Sorry. Is my story like a Shechon Peah? Then Levi Neman Olam. And a Levi is always believed to say, this is my Maserishot. The rule is, you are believed if your claim is consistent with the way people actually act. So the Gemara says, fine. Ad heichad. Right? How far away from the field can you be for to be believed that this is Matan Ananiim? So it's a day's journey. Right? Because that's what people did. Right? Yes. Or whatever the normal travel is then. So nowadays, whatever. But then, walking or whatever travel equipment a poor person has.
Probably still when you drive. I drove to...
I mean, you might. You might, but whatever. I mean, the point is, the normal back and... It's back and forth, right? Yeah. Back and forth. Okay. So Gemara says, Maizaveh hem in Rebbe el-Chamisha Achen. And Rebbe once believed five brothers. Bechamisha Karen Shalchitim, even five core... of wheat, Vafshar cane, really? How could it be that so much grain could be collected from one field? This isn't plausible. Ela mikan sivchar, mikan sivchar, koras lak. He said, what do you mean? they were hard workers. They went field to field to field to field. Happens. They collected it, you know? They were fine. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazer derama baikum Rabbi Yosef. Matnita de Rilazer. Should we say that the Mishnah is like a Rilazer? Rilazer Omer, Neman ala Sheni, Neman ala Rishon. That one who's trusted by Meiser Sheni is also trusted by Meiser Rishon, where the Rabbanon disagree. And they say that if you see the Amaret separating Meiser Rishon, then you can believe him. But, you can believe about Meiser Sheni, but not vice versa. Now, what's the logic to give people more ne'emanut about Meiser Sheni than Meiser Rishon? Because Meiser Sheni, you keep. Right? And therefore, people might not want to give Meiser Rishon because that goes to somebody else. Meiser Sheni, they keep. They just have to bring it to Yerushalayim. And therefore, they think that you have more ne'emanut on Meiser Sheni. So if you see him giving Meiser Rishon, which is the less easy for him to give, then he's believing Meiser Sheni, but not the other way around. Rabbi Lazar thinks you're ne'eman in both directions. Our Mishnah, which assumes that the owner, before giving Meiser Ani, would have separated Meiser Rishon, that only works with... Rabbi Eliezer, right? Because the fact that you gave Meiser Ani is now reason to believe that he was also Mafresh Meiser Rishon. Meaning, therefore, that which the poor has is fine. Rabbi Yossi, no. Divrakol Shnayi Shein Adam Ose Bidvar Averi. He said, no, this case is different. Why? Because he's giving it to somebody else. We're not, right? It's one thing to say he's not Neman about himself. It's another thing to say that this guy is giving to the Aniim. And he is diabolical and he's giving it to them without making it Tevel and not giving Meiser Rishon, Zekvar, that's at least how the Gruh understands it. The Marafulda says that we're going back on the first line. And the Rilazar is saying, namely, that they're believed by Leket Shecha and Peah. Right, and he says, well, why are we believed? Right, why is he believed about Leket Shecha and Peah? Right, as we saw, believability about one halachic category doesn't carry over to the other. And according to him, he says, the point is no, is that a person wouldn't degrade himself and take Matan Ananiim and call it Matan Ananiim unless it really was. The Pnei Moshe thinks it's talking about the next line, namely that a Levi is believed about Meiser Rishon, and the implication that we also trust the Meiser Levi, the Levi, that he separated, Trumat, Meiser. I mean, this seems to be Rabbi Eliezer, who thinks that you're believed from one Meiser to another. And Riosi says no, because people don't lie about Trumat Meiser. And he changed the girsa she'ein adam oseh bedavar arma, that people don't lie about this. Okay. Just to finish off, this is already very long. Just like Jews are not suspect of Truma Gedola, right? The reason we believe Leviim is because, as we said, Amei Aretz are only questioned about what? Meiser, not Truma, because they were scared of Truma. The reason you believe Levi about Meiser Rishon is because, what are you believing him about? That he was Mafresh, Truma and Meiser, and people treat Truma and Meiser like Truma, and that's why he's always believed, just like in our hearts, believed about Truma, but not Meiser. So, Kach, Lo Neshto, Ben Levi, Al Truma, Meiser. And that is why you trust him. Yeah, now some suggest that the reason that you're believed by Truma, and this wouldn't carry over to Truma at Maiser, is, and this is the rush, is because Truma midaraita, you can be pater with a single grain. And therefore we're not worried that the Amaretz is not going to give a single grain, at least make it, give Truma midaraita. He may not give the Derabanan, right, which is, you know, let's say 2%, a 40th, a 50th, or a 60th. But then the Gemara wants to know, but why is a Levi believed? And the answer is, nevertheless, the Levi is believed, even though it doesn't follow, obviously. But still, Levium just weren't suspect about it. And the Gemara there says, Amar Moshe, Manita Amar came in, Levi Neman Olam. And right, despite the fact that, yes, there is a difference between Truma and Truma and Meiser, Lehalacha, we trust Levium, right? That's the point, right? The Levium were trustworthy to give their Truma and Meiser, even though, yes, it is halachically different, and the standards are different, but in general, Chazal assumed they didn't lie about this, and therefore we believe them, and we'll pick up and finish up the Mishnah too.